Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point, and the point of today's episode, episode 64, is Ishmael Kader. Ishmael, thanks for being here.
We're taking this entire space for the New Year's Eve pop-up party. The venue's completely empty, but we're going to come in here and dress it up the way that Cleveland's never seen before.
I'm looking to find Cleveland's best DJs.
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. Ishmael, you're an ambassador for Bar Crawl Live, a company that hosts bar crawls across the country.
Mm-hmm.
You're the king of creating events for others to enjoy and someone devoted to bringing people together in your hometown of Cleveland, Ohio. What is, Ishmael, the best thing, though, that there is to know about you?
Well, first off, thank you for the intro. I mean, that's nice. I'd never consider myself as the king of anything. But to back to your question, what was it again?
What is the best thing that there is to know about you?
That I am very fun, definitely. And I think that's my events that I do, like, kind of speaks for that reason alone, just because I just love to have fun and connecting with people, which is nuts.
Your Instagram bio has an interesting kind of dichotomy of a litany, right? Mm-hmm. I just want to read it for the audience because I think it's real creative. It says, calm but alert, relaxed but ready, smooth but sharp, humble but confident. Mm-hmm. What does that contrast mean in your life? Why is it so important to have one and maybe not the other?
You know, growing up, I've always been that kid that people really haven't understood, and they just try to see me and then think of me as something. You know, it could be pro, it could be con, but I write that because I truly mean that, like, you know, when people do meet me for the first time, I want them to know, like, hey, you know, I am humble, I am confident, I am, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of things. But for some reason, when people first meet me, they automatically assume a negative, and then when they get to know me, they see the difference. Like, oh, okay, this guy is funny, he is cool, he is calm, he's collective, he's, you know, confident. So yeah, I mean, that's really why I wrote that. Yeah,
it's hard with meeting off the first time based upon a social image as mm-hmm. well, right? Because whatever we put out is only going to be, like, people always talk about, right? Like the highlight reel, in essence, because mm-hmm. that's just the nature of what we're putting out there. That's kind of where social media is. And I feel like maybe there's a little bit of a shift towards people just being vulnerable or authentic. Like, you put out a bloopers video, like we talked about before.
You know, that was funny, like, when I did that. I was like, you know, when I first talked to my team, like, man, you know, it takes you 100 takes to do one video. I'm like, you know, why don't we just put those 100 bloopers into a one video, and people can see that I'm not perfect.
You know,
I make mistakes all the time, and it's okay to make mistakes, you know. But this is also the first time I've ever done personal videos like that, which is nuts.
Now, tapping into it a little bit, your business has always involved getting people together, unifying people, bringing people together. What is it about that work that first built your intrigue?
That's a good question. When I first started doing events, it's just the idea of putting people together has always been fun. And I can kind of go back to my first event. You know, my first event was in New York, and you know, worked with like 7 different venues, and it was 1,200 people. At first, I thought I was doing it for the money, and it was all glamorous, it was nice. But then until I walked into the room for the very first time, and I seen nearly 1,300 people having fun, and they didn't know me, and I didn't know them, that was like so rewarding for me. When I did that first, I'm like, man, this is why I want to keep doing this. The money will come, but it's like the fun that I wanted to chase. More importantly, the people's enjoyment. Like, I love the fact that no one knew who I was, but like, they're having a great time at a party, and they don't know who set it up. You know, it's really cool.
It is. It's tremendous to think about the others aspect, right? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like in anything, the second that what we're giving is more important than ourselves, then it just thrives. It takes off.
Yeah. And then if you think about it too, the idea of setting up an event or like a party, you know, as an individual, that's a lot of work. You know, you have to do the invites, you have to make sure everyone's, you know, knows where the place is and what you're doing, if there's a theme, if there's not a theme. And, you know, I want to take that legwork away from people so I end up doing it with me and my team together. And then when we do bar crawls, for example, we pick the venues, we pick the lineup, we pick the theme, we pick the cocktails, the specials and all that. And then to the point where people just buy a ticket, get a digital bar list of everything that they need to do, as far as an itinerary, and they just follow it, and there's nothing they need to do besides have fun.
Perfect. Yeah. Make it seamless.
Yeah.
How did you know, Ishmael, that you were going to excel in that industry?
That's funny. I didn't, honestly.
Okay.
So I grew up in Lakewood, right? And then at the age of 19, I moved to New York and found myself working on Wall Street. But when I moved to New York, I literally went out every single day. It was either a party at Central Park or what have you. There was something going on. And then finally, when I turned 21, I started doing the club scene. But going out, I've met anyone that's been in the scene. So event directors, event organizers, event promoters, club owners, club managers, and I was that banker for all of them. So like I got to help them with their finances, and I'm seeing this revenue coming in. And then one day, one of my clients was like, you know, you should come to one of the events. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. Then I go to one of the events, and the guy that invited me, he was at this massive music festival, and I'm backstage, and he looks stressed. And I'm at awe of seeing like thousands of people. And I'm like, man, this is so cool that what you do. He's like, man, I'm stressed out right now. I need some help. He had this clipboard and a bunch of items to knock out. And he's like, hey, would you do me a favor? I was like, yeah. It's like, can you just knock out the first two at the very top? I'm like, yeah, no problem. I ended up knocking out the whole thing. And it felt like so natural, okay, you know, to put out these fires and figure out what to do and how to do it. And he comes back and he's like, did you just knock out this whole list? It's like, yeah. It's like, you know, I figured I'd just knock it out as I went on. And it was just so natural. And then one thing led to another. I started doing music festivals with them. And then I branched off and started doing yacht parties in Manhattan. And I just kept riding that feeling of like people having fun. And it's like, it was just so cool to me that you can set up this entire event. People show up and they have fun. And it's just like that feeling I was so addicted to, you know? And then, you know, ever since then, I've been doing events now for about 13 years. And, it wasn't until recently when I started making videos, I'm like, you know, now I'm back in Cleveland, you know, and there's just so much gap. And it didn't make sense to me why my friends in my hometown all wanted to leave. You know, like for New Year's Eve, for example, you know, they wanted to go to Miami, LA, New York, like all these other cities. It's like, man, why isn't there anything in Cleveland, you know, not just to prevent people from leaving, but why would you have to leave your hometown or your city? There should be more things to do, you know. And then I ran into my boy since high school, Eric EV. You know, I call him randomly. He's like, "Man, every time you call, I know there's something fun's about to happen. What do you want to do?" I was like, "Man, let's do something for Halloween." There's nothing going on. He's like, "Dude, there's only like a week until Halloween." I'm like, "Yeah, so what, man? We can use our resources, you know, and find some type of fun to do." And we did. We knocked out that warehouse party. And then, you know, now fast forward, I don't want to stop. There's so many random people that would come up and like, hey man, we love what you're doing. You know, and again, I've never put myself in front of social media the way that I have been and becoming that face to tell people like, hey, we need to save Cleveland. We need to build this together. We need to, you know, unite ourselves to make things happen. But then doing the events, it's just like, it's just so cool how people could just come together, especially in Cleveland. And I didn't know, I was like, at first I thought maybe I'm the only one bored. You know, and then you come to find during the events, like I wasn't the only one, you know, everyone's bored. I mean, I don't know what the population in Cleveland is, but I'm guessing that's maybe 400,000. But then if you take that, you know, and say 10% go out, there's not enough for them to do, you know, so much. Like there needs to be more. And this is exactly why I'm going to keep doing it. You know, that's why I'm going all out for New Year's Eve. Like, you know, I want to make it known that Cleveland is not dead. The scene is there. There's gaps that need to be covered, and I'm going to do whatever I can. I'll collaborate with whoever I need to just to cover those gaps, especially for the house and dance music community. You know, like I love house and I love dance, and it's like there's just not that much happening, you know?
In Cleveland, too, you and I both know that the people here will support each other.
Oh, yeah.
When you start talking on a business level, of course, there's competition involved, mm-hmm. but just the people of Cleveland support other Clevelanders.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you start putting new energy, good energy out there, people gravitate towards it, and then they're going to get their friends and their family or so on. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, it's thriving.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy you mentioned that because, you know, I do events nationally, right? And there's something unique about our hometown, man. Cleveland, they do support each other. You know, and they'll support local businesses and those, but we don't like franchise companies, you know. Like look at some establishments that are a franchise concept. You know, now they're fading away. We support local, which is nuts.
Absolutely.
And as we should, you know, and it's it's a very unique city, and there's a lot of support and love, and there's also, you know, a lot of people that don't support each other, which is also, you know, a little sad.
Totally.
But at least there's more support than those that don't. Like, I do, every time I do an event, man, I love the amount of support, especially from, like, random people. Like, hey, man, you know, I'd love to come help you out. Like, you don't have to pay us. Like, we love the movement that you're doing. Like, the amount of support is endless. Like, I can't even keep up with the DMs of people just trying to hit. Like, hey, man, I'll help you out. Whatever you need. Like, you know, do you need any stage hands? Do you need someone for sound? Like, there's people that donated a lot of the stuff that we have. The DJ is reaching out. Like, hey, man, you know, love what you're doing. We want a DJ. You don't have to pay me. Like, although we do, whatever we can make, you know, it goes towards the production. It goes towards whatever's left. It goes towards the artist. You know, but the amount of support is uncomparable in any other city I work with, which is nuts.
It's really great to hear you guys give it back to mm-hmm. the people that are willing to help you.
Yeah.
And kind of in that vein, in that small city, if you will, but that like almost local idea, mm-hmm. you've been really focused on pop-ups mm-hmm. as opposed to maybe going in somewhere and putting in a longevity. So yeah. Why the pop-up model and what's been successful for it?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's, you know, I do a lot of market research and the whole concept of the scene itself, as far as the nightclubs go, you know, it is dying down a tad bit. And what was on the rise was all these pop-ups. And you see groups like Good Taste, that's ran by a DJ named Just AJ, which is amazing. He's got this brand called Good Taste. Unbelievable local pop-ups. And it's fun, and it's nice to see him scale it the way he did. And then you got another company, I'm not sure who runs it exactly, but there's another local brand that's Sunset in Cleveland, and they do awesome pop-ups as well. And I just, if you look at the attendees that go to these pop-ups, there's a common behavior where they all want something different. You know, these pop-ups are normally at different establishments. You know, and I'm like, man, how can I add into those local pop-ups? You know, I collaborate with a lot of them. And I said, you know, let me call my boy Eric EV. And I'm like, hey, man, let's do a pop-up. You know, like, let's just see where it goes. And what I like about pop-ups is the fact that it's at a different establishment. It's different. It's supporting local heavy, which is nice. And it's a bunch of individuals who want to go out and do something different, which is nice to see. So I wanted to add into what was already happening.
It is ever changing too that mm-hmm. way, which is nice. I mean, the nature of this podcast too is that we try and go where it's relevant toward the guest.
Yeah.
And it's for that same reason, because it adds a different home you feel, and mm-hmm. it's definitely authentic that way.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's something that, again, people are longing for in general. Mm-hmm. So to provide that in the pop-up event space is seemingly just a home run.
Yeah. You know, when I reached out to Just AJ, who runs Good Taste, there was a buddy of mine that had a rooftop at his apartment, and it's like, hey, let's do that pop up at his establishment, which the guys came in, set up, and it was great. The only problem was there wasn't enough for everybody, you know. So I'm like, man, so like these pop ups are awesome and they're growing, but the venues needed to get bigger, you know. And I figured, you know, why not step in and start using my resources, and we've done these pop ups, and it's been great, you know, supporting local artists, you know, and it's, what's wild to me is that there's a lot of talent in Cleveland, like more than I even imagined. Like it wasn't until I started doing pop-ups, I realized, man, there's a lot of DJs who are really good producers that are coming out of like Bushwick or Brunswick, Ohio, or like North Ridgeville. Like there's a bunch that are like really up and coming. And I didn't think that there was that many, but there's quite a few.
It is. It's definitely a movement mm-hmm. for sure. Kind of in that vein too, what is your goal for each event? You mentioned that you're a fun guy, but when you put it out there, you're like, all right, I want them to have fun. What's the goal?
That's a good question. You know, I had a lot of friends ask me that question too, especially my dad. I just talked to him recently. He's like, man, you're not making any money off of this. What? Why are you doing it in the first place? My goal is to cover the gap of what's missing in Cleveland. And that's a safe place for people who enjoy dance music and house music. You know, I'm a huge lover in house music, and it's weird that there isn't something for someone to go to listen to house and dance music. But I want it to be where it's affordable and people still get that rave feeling, mm-hmm. you know, to where they walk in and rather than being gouged on price, like, you know, $100 to get into somewhere, you know, make it free or $20 or $40 or just whatever someone wants to contribute. And then I take whatever that's made at the door and I just put it goes towards the production cost. Which, like, the setup here is like nearly $40,000, which is nuts.
Yeah, that is nuts.
But the idea and plan, and you're the first person that I'm probably telling to live, which is nuts, is my goal is to have a cost-effective way for people to have fun, but by summer of 2026, I want to do a music festival in Cleveland.
That's awesome.
Like,
yeah.
You know, there's not much. Actually, the last time I've ever heard of a music festival was probably like 10 years ago. You know, and it's like, why did that die down? Why isn't it happening? You know, and it's, it comes to show you that, you know, the music culture behind, music culture in Cleveland is behind, and it shouldn't be. You know, so like my ultimate goal is to make sure that there's a cost-effective way of people that can have fun, and we can do a music festival starting summer of 2026. That's my ultimate goal.
It's tremendous. Yeah. Then you could just bring in all those artists, all those ones that are up and coming, and then just keep working your way up to someone like Evie that has accreditation, and I mean, just did the Paul fight and all that. So you get the whole gamut that way.
Yeah. And it's funny building this goal with Eric, like, you know, and we barely talked in the beginning, but we, you know, grew up together and whatnot, and it's funny where he moved to LA, I moved to New York, and then we come back and we both looked at each other like, man, Cleveland's like so behind. I'm like, dude, I agree with you. We should make things happen. And here we are now trying to make it happen, trying to give back to the community, try to support all local artists. And when I told him that, hey man, I think our goal should be to where we bring back music festivals, he started laughing. He's like, man, that's my goal as well. Like, dude, we should try to make it happen.
It's perfect.
You know, and it's the culture's there, the community's there, the need is there. It's just, you know, we shouldn't have to leave Cleveland to enjoy music, you know? So that's the goal.
With all those great goals, and truly, if anyone could find a knock on that, it'd be a shock to me. But nonetheless, businesses take criticism.
Mm-hmm.
You know it just from doing it. Mm-hmm. And kind of like we alluded to a little bit, when you're working with other businesses, you're gonna take some slack.
Yeah.
How do you navigate through that negative press and just those negative thoughts, if you will?
That's a great question. You know, it's funny, anything you do in life, at least from what I've grown to learn, is that you're gonna get criticism on your way to the top. And if you're not, then you're doing something completely wrong. My dad always told me, like, you know, if you're not hated, then you're doing it wrong. I never understood it until like probably, you know, when I was mid-20s, you know, like, so like if you're always loved and liked, then that's, you know, you gotta be hated somehow. But just doing these events, I didn't think there's more support, but there's a lot of criticism too. And then once you start breaking it down to where those sources are coming from, which I try not to focus on that too much, where I'm so addicted and obsessed with raising the Cleveland scene and not so much, you know, trying to figure out who these critics are. But I take all that and I just add that as fuel to my fire, you know, add fuel to my mission and the goal of what we're trying to do. But it's a shame that a lot of these critics or doubters are all coming from the Cleveland scene. And it's a lot of them who are doing their own events as well. And we come in at a bigger scale, not to disrupt what's going on, it's just to add on. And they're looking at it as if, oh, you know, let's add these rumors to this guy. Let's say he's this, let's say he's that. Let's say he's associated with this. And it's like, you know, I see it and I don't let it concern me too much, but I'm also gonna have a voice. You know, and there's been some responses to where I'm like, you know, that's a shame that, you know, comments like this are the reason why Cleveland's not growing. Or someone that bashes me and then I figure out who they are. It's like, you know, instead of you bashing me, not knowing who I am, why don't you just reach out and find a way to collaborate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of which they do. You know, there's some that thought I was X and I ended up being exactly what they, well, the opposite of what they thought. And now they're working with me and it's like, you know, we're just here. I'm just here to make a difference and help. I'm not here to, you know, ruin anything that's already happening.
You know? That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Or Mosey always says that. He's like, if you do something, you're gonna get hated. If you do nothing, you're gonna get hated. She's like, so you might as well do something.
Exactly.
Which is so true.
Yeah.
How do you counteract that with positive media?
That's a good question too.
With positive media?
It almost makes me think of, in a way, some of these TikTok accounts, like that Zachary, I don't know his last name, I don't know if you're familiar with that Zachary guy that goes and just gives money to people and he has a massive following and people Venmo him and then he goes and finds people that are in need and ultimately gives it to him and really changes lives. It's nuts what he does. I think he's out of Canada somewhere, but regardless, something like that, or like that Hope Corps idea, like how do you counteract it with, again, positive media?
If I'm understanding correctly, every post that I'm doing and every video that I'm making, it's to give people hope that they can contribute and they can find a safe place to have fun and express themselves.
Because I almost picture something that was coming to mind when you were discussing it was, for example, let's say someone comments like, oh, this is such a stupid idea. You almost could counteract it with using that comment in a video of everyone having a great time. Mm-hmm. No commentary, just their comment and then just everyone having a blast. Mm-hmm. Speaks for itself, right?
Yeah.
And again, clips from this podcast of you saying, this is all for good. This is all to grow Cleveland. This is all to grow people's options, really, mm-hmm. for what they want to do in the social scene.
Yeah.
That's all really great.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, there's as you grow, there's always going to be those negative individuals who, you know, it could be something happening in their life where they're struggling and whatnot. And the last thing I want to do is say something negative to them.
Totally.
Instead, I would just tell them, hey, come to the party, have a good time. You know, leave all that stuff at the door. Just come enjoy it, or let's get to know each other. You know, let's talk, let's connect.
Did you know that all along, or did it take some time to learn that?
It takes a lot of adjustments, I'll tell you that much. You know, it took me a while to realize that, you know, when I try to perfect all the events that I do, and when someone writes a bad review or a bad comment, it took me a while to admit that, hey, I can't please everybody. You know, that's just how it is, and that's the nature of the beast. And there's just going to be those individuals who don't see that, you know, paying $20 to come into a party that is valued at like $300,000 worth of production, or like, you know, it's just how it is. It's the nature of the beast. If, you know, a lot of people also go to the movies and complain about a $10 ticket when they're watching a film that costs millions of dollars. Those individuals you can't get rid of. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how they are, and it's unfortunate.
It's a narrow-minded thought process, for sure. You have to understand that anytime you want a product, it's going to have a cost, and there was a cost that went into it.
Exactly.
It's very circular and cyclical. It's not not that crazy, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
You mentioned the music festival, which I think is really awesome. That kind of seems like an immediate goal, like you mentioned, next summer. What's the end game in general for you for the event space?
It's easy. There is no end game.
Keep going.
It's going to keep going, and needs to continue to grow and just add in more, you know. I want it to be where Cleveland becomes a destination point rather than Cleveland having to leave to go to some other destination point. Cool. You know, so there is no end goal. There is no end.
Yeah, right.
There's just the goal, and then there's going to be an adjustment and another goal and another goal, you know, so.
Through having all these events, and I know you said you don't feel like you're the king of it, but to that end, you're definitely an expert by doing it so many times, at least one would consider.
Yeah.
What do you think has been the biggest creative lesson that you've learned, the biggest creative mindset that you've adopted?
The biggest creative mindset. I've gotten better at finding people who are more creative than me, honestly. Like, I don't even see myself as that creative individual. I just love to have fun and with a bunch of random people. Like, I really do. And as I started doing events, you know, I figured out that I'm not that smart, I'm not that clever, and I'm not that creative. And then I ended up finding people who are creative and smart and, like, just more fun than I am. You know, when you work with a team, you can literally accomplish anything. Like, Eric, for example, loved by everybody. He's fun. He knows how to create a vibe. Me, I just know how to create an event. So, like, our partnership together just makes sense. But, yeah, I've just gotten good at teaming up and collaborating with the correct better individuals than I am.
And that's a skill, though.
Yeah.
I had a mentor that always said that the essence of leadership is to surround yourself with people who are better than you,
or
who are smarter than you, and pick the adjective,
like
you're saying. But it takes a skill and it takes a personality to be able to find everyone else's talent and merge it in a way that's successful for what you're trying to do.
Yeah. But it's also got me in trouble a lot, too. Like, I would think that someone's smarter and wise and ended up being dumber than me, which is not good because I'm not that clever or smart.
Learning experience, right?
Yeah. Definitely learning experience. But yeah.
You keep saying fun. We keep talking about the word fun, right? You're fun. We want fun events. Mm-hmm. What role is fun? What role should it be in our lives?
That is a great question. You know, there are a lot of people who think that they're too old to have fun, right? And my mom always tells me, you know, it's you're only old when you stop dancing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I just want to give people a place to dance, and then when they and leave their troubles at the door, and when they leave the party, they just, you know, really think about how good life really is. You know, especially when you go to a place that is fun and you get to meet people. And another thing that I like to do sometimes is just sit back in the corner and just watch everybody. And then there's strangers who don't know each other, and then they become friends. You know, there's been parties where I've seen someone propose to their girlfriend, which was, I'm like, man, I can't believe that happened. Did that just happen at my party? That's awesome. You know, but it's cool to see strangers come together and then become friends. And That's really rewarding, you know.
Song and dance, right? We've always heard song as a universal language, and people have been dancing forever.
Oh yeah.
And I think about, like, what would be my grandparents' generation. They danced. I mean, they danced right until they couldn't dance anymore, and that was just what they did. And it was always joyful. And I'd never seen them dance without smiling.
Yeah.
It was always smiling or maybe intimate in some way and lovey. Mm-hmm. It was always pick a positive emotion.
Yeah.
Right. So if you can evoke that and draw that out by providing the environment, mm-hmm. It makes all the sense.
You know, it's cool, but our parents' time, you know, that was a little more fun because you didn't have phones back then where you're just sitting there just recording the whole time versus having a good time. You know, I once saw there was a risky event idea that I had back in the day where I'm like, hey man, let's do this party where there's no phones allowed. And everyone's like thought it was nuts. I'm like, no, let's just take away their phone as they walk in. We'll take their phone and ID, put in a rubber band somewhere safe, and then they go in there. And it was a risk, but when the event happened, which was a sold out scale, it was really cool to see everybody not with their phones out, but they all had to communicate with each other. They ended up dancing, having a good time. And surprisingly enough, no one really cared about their phone unless they're like a friend, they're waiting for a friend to come. You know, we had like a phone area where you get your phone back and get your phone, text and do whatever and then put it back. But it was a really cool concept. But yeah, back then I feel like it was a lot more fun. And now the music's obviously evolved to a place where it never existed before, you know? But it's cool to see how much it's evolved since our parents' day and age, you know?
The accessibility of it is, that's one plus of the phones, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you can get music everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift. I mean, I listen to a ton of music, same thing. I like genres from all over. And I always think about that. Like it's something that I'm grateful for, beyond grateful for. It's just to be able to download a song. I mean, I pay a couple dollars a month for Apple Music and just get to listen to anything I want.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Truly, it's such a gift.
Oh yeah. Especially these DJs, there's a lot of local DJs that are producing their own music too. You know, there's a guy that I got to know, Rosa. It's cool to meet him early on and of doing these pop-ups. But even prior to that, he's got the look for an artist and he's also got the skill to be an artist. And then he recently started doing his own music, producing his own music, which one of them's, the first one he's done, Certified Lover, which he sent it to me and I'm like, man, this is awesome. He's like, man, I'm gonna play this at the church party that you're gonna do. I'm like, dude, that's great. You know, but doing these events, there's like so much more awards that come into play, which artists coming in and knowing that there's no limitations. Like, man, play what you want. And then he produces tracks to come play it at my event. That was so awesome.
It is.
You know?
Yeah, he's so talented. Quick shout out to Mario. I mean, does. He has the vision. Yeah. He's smart. He's very meticulous.
When I first met him, I thought his name was Rosé.
Rosé.
I'm like, man, shout out to this guy named Rosé. He's got the look. And he's like, yo, man, my name is Rosa. Like, oh, my bad.
You're like, my bad. Run it back.
Yeah. I never said I was smart.
I just like people, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of one of the glories. That's something that I love in this quote unquote social realm is being able to work with different people like Rosa, like whomever. I mean, the list is endless.
Yeah.
Of yours, who has been the favorite person that you've been able to collaborate with so far?
Honestly, it's always been my boy since high school, Eric, EV. Dude, EV is like, I don't know what it is, but you know, you can walk into a room that's completely like packed and no one's vibing at all. And then he walks in and just instantly creates the vibe. You know, he's got that gift we're so different in a way, but when we come together, it's perfect because every skill that I lack, he covers and vice versa, which is a way to collab. But ever since I moved back to Cleveland, he's always been easy to talk to, always makes himself available, which is cool, even though he's extremely busy. And you know, I'll call him at like 2 a.m. with a crazy idea. He's like, bro, that's nuts. All right, let's do it.
Let's do it, yeah.
Yeah, let's run it, you know? And he's always down to do things. There's other people that I've talked to where we run ideas, but the problem with a lot of ideas that people have is, great, that's a great idea. Now the execution's the hardest. So yeah, but Eric's one of my favorites for sure. There's a full list.
Sure.
But he's definitely up there.
How special too to build something with someone that you love and that you've been boys with for a long time. I mean,
I'm proud of that guy, man. He's done so much. You know, he's got I'm from Cleveland. He's got his clothing brand too, which is cool. And the fact that he recently did a live DJ set for the third time with Netflix is so cool. Like having a friend like that just I'm very proud of him.
And he's an inspiration for the local artists, right?
Oh, absolutely.
The Just AJ, the Rosas, the Pick Your Poison of artists that are almost aspiring to be somewhat of what EV is, of who EV is.
Mm-hmm. And he's a humble guy, too.
I love that.
Very humble, man. And when he sees an artist better than him, he'll say it. Like, man, you're so much better than me. Like, you're awesome. You know, he's a humble, genuine guy, which is cool.
have great memories of him DJing with Steph Floss and those two just like doing their thing together.
Oh, yeah.
So those guys are really fun. Yeah. Again, vibrant individual.
It's cool to see an individual too that can go back to back, do back to back sets with anybody.
That's impressive. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, very much.
Playing piggyback off of each other. It takes a quick witted mind to do that.
Absolutely. And he's been doing it in the scene. You know, it's funny, we bring up Eric. Going to high school with him, there's a bunch of talent shows, right? And for the longest, you know, he would go up to the talent show, but no one knew it was him. He would be that guy that's doing, you know, DJing on the stage, but he would have his hood and like never said that he was the DJ. So like for years, like the next year, boom, he would go up there again. But again, had the hood, no one knew who he was until like senior year, I feel like, is when he's like, oh, you know, it's me. I was the one that was DJing the whole time and like just,
that's awesome.
Just did a bunch of parties outside of high school.
Yeah.
And like really came up and I'm not surprised as far as he's come to where he is now, you know.
When you have a work ethic like that, it'll carry you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. I feel like success rewards, not necessarily deserving, but the persistent, if you will, right?
And he's got that likability in him, man. It's like, you know, I wish I had that gift, but I don't. People, for some reason, growing up, have always hated me until they got to know me. Like, okay, this guy's actually funny. Yeah, he's an idiot, but he's a fun guy. You know, him, everyone loves him.
Yeah, everyone's got their things, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's so cool about someone who just embraces it and takes it and runs with it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to get all caught up in that.
Yeah.
You know, you got to tap into what is good, true, and wonderful about you and use it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is so awesome about your story. When I originally messaged you, that's kind of what I said. I was like, hey, I love the energy you're putting into Cleveland.
Yeah,
like,
appreciate
just
that,
point blank. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the fact that you're doing it here, I mean, I love this city too. I think there's a lot of great individuals in this city, and it's, a community that believes in one another.
Mm-hmm.
So to have someone coming in and just injecting energy into it is a gift.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
100%.
Yeah, it's not easy, that's for sure.
Everything comes with its battles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In those times, though, when maybe things are difficult, I feel like it's important to have people who inspire us.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the inspirations in your life? And what have you taken from them? And it could be someone that you know well, again, like Evie, like Eric, or your parents, or whomever, or someone that you just have never met at all.
Yeah. You know, I met a lot of individuals, especially living in New York. There's just so much different talent and so many different organizers. But the ones that I enjoyed the most are the artists. You know, so like I got to meet like Mark Knight, for example. You know, I'd be in the green room with him before he goes to play at like Marquee or one of the venues. And the fact that they would take their time to like, hey, you know, pick their brain, right? But the very first artist that I've booked, Data Life, you know, we booked him out in Baltimore and we stayed up until like probably 5 a.m. just talking.
Wow.
He's from Sweden and he was telling me about parties there. And, you know, and I asked him like, how could I make this party better? I've always asked the artist how you know, things can get better. And now, like, you know, there's artists who inspired and motivated me by showing me other inspirations, because inspiration, it's basically, it comes from somewhere.
Totally.
I wish I had, you know, original factors, but, you know, I get inspired by the things I see, the people I talk to. But there's a lot, and, you know, there's a lot of individuals, too, in Cleveland that I've grown up with or grown up to see. You know, there were some club owners, you know, it's cool that they're still willing to put their sleeves up and to make the scene better, who've inspired me and supported me to this day. The list is just so big, you know, and I can go on and on, but it's, I take inspiration and motivation from a lot of individuals.
Similarly, it kind of tails right off of that, but we have a closing litany that we do at Chats with Clark.
Yeah.
And the first question has to do with gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
My contention is that people who live gratefully just live a better life than those who do not.
Mm-hmm.
So the question to you, Ishmael, is what role does gratitude play in your life? And it makes sense to me in the line of inspiration, because if you derive something from someone, then you realize that something is great about them and want to embody that.
Yeah.
That is, in and of itself, is a form of gratitude to me.
Yeah.
But again, the question.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. There's, I'm just grateful to be the person that I am, you know, to be able to create joy and places for people to go to have fun. There's a lot of organizers who stress, and for me, I just like to breathe and figure out a way to make it happen, you know, and I'm just grateful to be that person. You know, it wasn't until a few years ago I realized, man, you know, this is awesome. I'm so grateful to be that person. I'm so grateful to be able to organize events. I'm so grateful that I don't allow doubters and negative individuals make me upset to where they're slowing me down. I use that as fuel. I'm just grateful to be who I am, honestly, and to grow up from Cleveland and to be able to, you know, take what I know from the people I've met in Cleveland to be able to duplicate that, you know, nationally. But yeah, I mean, that's really it.
To really appreciate who you are strikes me as that last line of humble but confident. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a humility in, hey, artists, how can I better this? But mm-hmm. also like having the confidence to say, you know, I know this thing's going to be good.
Yeah.
And I have the confidence to ask you that. Mm-hmm. Right? Or I have the confidence in who I am that we're going to put on a great event.
Yeah.
I think that's really great.
Yeah.
And kind of on the developmental side of that, I think that we all have regrets or situations that we wish had went differently than they did.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any regrets in your life? And if so, what have they taught you?
Do I have any regrets in life? I regret staying on Wall Street longer than I did. I should have quit sooner. Not that I can think of. You know, I'm not a man that has too many regrets. I think just doing what I'm doing now is what I'm passionate about and really focusing on Cleveland. But as far as regrets go, none that come to mind, really.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
It means you're living and taking it and running,
yeah.
right? And that's what it's about, too.
Yeah.
The third question is, tapping into inspirations, is kind of derived from Jesse Itzler's philosophy of always having something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should always have things on our calendar. And for someone who plans events, I feel like this is a layup of a question.
Yeah.
But what is on your calendar that you're looking forward to and why?
Every upcoming event. You know, it's funny because like, and I tell this to my team too, it's like we set up these dates a year in advance, right? And these pop-ups, we're doing it like a month in advance or like a week in advance or like a couple of days, which is nuts. But you set a date, and no matter if I'm sick, tired, I can't do it, or I don't want to do it, I have to do it, you know? And it's, I like setting myself up that way, you know, coming up with a date and just no matter what, how I feel and what anyone thinks or says, I have to make it happen.
Yeah, put on, right? Yeah. I mean, I think of everyone that's on a stage, athletes, singers, performers. Tickets are sold, but you got to figure it out, right?
Yeah, no matter what.
Yeah, you know, 100%.
We have to make it happen. And these pop-ups, we don't do pre-sale tickets. Just try to do cost-effective events. Let's hit even and let's just make it happen. He's like, bro, we got a big, you know, a big warehouse to fill, man. You really think people will come? Like, well, let's build it and then hopefully they come. If they don't, who cares? You know, even it, like I like doing different size events. More importantly, these pop-ups, I love the unknown of them. You know, like, you know, the fact that we're not doing pre-sale tickets, we're just telling people RSVP and then just come. Like, we really don't know what the prices are going to be at the door.
Yeah.
Like, it's a range between 20 to 40 bucks. But truly, we're not trying to do it for profit. We're doing it to where we can make whatever we can, and it goes to production. Whatever's remaining goes to the DJs. Whatever's left, we go to media, which, you know, a lot of them have volunteered their time. And there's some pop-ups that we've done. We didn't charge anyone at all. Like, the Halloween event, like I said, you know, it's going to be BYOB. You guys dress whatever you want. There's no rules. Just come and have fun. You know, and people were shocked. They came up to the door like, hey, you know, how much is it? I'm like, it's free. Just come on in. You know,
so
and they
cool.
loved it.
Yeah.
Evie thought it was crazy. I'm like, he's like, dude, we just took a $20,000 loss. I'm like, who cares, man? You know, the fact that we are doing well for ourselves, let's just give something back to Cleveland. And I thought it was just going to be one event, you know, and then it just ended up building from there. When we did the church party, I mean, that thing alone was like nearly 30 grand a deal.
It's nuts. Yeah.
And
it's great.
Me and Eric said, you know what, I don't think the community is going to be upset if we did a $20 cover. And honestly, they were willing to give more at the
door. Sure.
Like, hey, yeah, we'll give $20. And then they walk in, they instantly felt like the value of it, you know, and all the people that came together and to support it. Yeah, there was a few people that were upset, like, oh, you didn't tell us it was a $20 cover. It's like $20 for something that cost 30 grand. I mean, I don't know why
you're
complaining.
Good return. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't have $20, then you shouldn't leave the house.
Right, right.
You know?
Truth.
I get it. I mean, but what we're truly trying to do is just to add more value and cover these gaps. You know, we've pissed off a shit ton of people, like, honestly. But, you know, if people don't see the positive in what we're doing, then they should probably reflect on how they look at the world, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of positive into it, you know?
Very imminently, you have the New Year's Eve pop-up.
Yeah.
Why don't you touch on that? Where are we? I just want to give you that quick.
Well, we're not releasing the address until the day of. So that's one, but we've been giving a lot of...
David, cut that part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't mind if that's added on there. You know, everyone already knows that that's how we do our pop-ups. We don't release the address until the day of.
Yeah.
Which is, there's something about that mysterious side of doing an event. But I give them teasers and, you know, sneak peeks, which is nice. But when we do our pop-ups, especially the New Year's Eve one, we didn't know how much supplies we were going to take out of storage. I mean, if you take a look at some of the stuff that we already have, like, there's a lot of dust in it. I haven't done a music festival since COVID, and this is a smaller size, obviously, but it's unique that we're doing it, and it's cool to go through the storage unit in areas we haven't gone and dig through in forever. You know, when people are like, you know, oh, it's $20 to get in, or it's $40 to get in, or whatever the cost was, it's like, man, you know, we're luckily we have all this stuff
for sure,
where we're saving that cost, because if we didn't, you have to outsource and rent equipment and what have you to be able to cover those costs is a lot. But the pop-ups, especially for New Year's Eve, that's the one that's really going to set the tone. And, you know, I'm doing this one solo. Eric had other plans that he's doing. He's got a conflict with the date. So I'm doing this solo, but it's really cool to really think about how could we make it unique to where it's Cleveland's never seen it before.
Sure.
You know, like we have a 360 stage that's wrapping all the way around. I don't know if you obviously
so cool.
seen it when you walked in.
Yeah.
And we have another artist, a guy named David from Midnight Art Club. And then he's customizing the booth, the DJ booth, where it's going to be also 360. And then there's going to be CDJs on each side. So every DJ that they're going to see in the main room is going to be back to back.
It's amazing.
You know, and you don't see that in Cleveland. I don't think Cleveland's had a 360 stage set up yet until actually last weekend. I give it to the boys at Sunset and Good Taste. They just had a really cool party. I can't remember the name of the venue, but they also had like a 360 setup, which was really cool. The light was awesome right above the DJ booth. But giving something that Cleveland's never seen. And then it's funny, I mentioned in one of my videos that I was going to do a balloon drop, right? And a crap load of comments were like, oh, Cleveland's already had something like this before. You're not going to beat them. You know, and they were referring to the balloon release back in 1986 or whatever it was, where they did a balloon release of 1.5 million balloons in downtown Cleveland. But that obviously requires helium. But there's a complete difference than a balloon
For
release
sure.
than a balloon drop that doesn't require helium, you know. But yeah, so we're going to do a balloon drop, which is about 500 balloons in each. But the balloons are massive. And we filled them up with confetti. So when they come down and people pop them, it just a shitload of confetti, you know, pops out. We got a bunch of special effects like the jets, the CO2 cannons, and the confetti cannons are going to be going off, you know, and it's just giving that rave vibe that's an affordable cost is something, it's really going to set the tone for 2026 and the years to come. You know, all these pop-ups that we have, I mean, we've had over 1,000 in each one of people attending. You know, if we continue to do these pop-ups, there's no doubt in my mind that 2026 we'll have our own music festival where
Absolutely.
It's going to be cost effective. People can come and we can continue to support local artists. You know, it's all about local artists. Yeah, we can get mainstream artists to come in as well. Honestly, I'd rather do a video and ask people, should we get national DJs or should we continue to focus on local? I wouldn't be surprised if they keep saying support local, you know.
You know how that goes sometimes too. People skip the opener, if you will, right? And you don't want
yeah.
that, especially
yeah.
with what you're building.
Yeah, and it's...
That's where my vote would be.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's... we have nearly 20 artists, local artists, that's going to be spinning for New Year's Eve. And it's cool because you can see them working with each other. And it's like, oh, how do you guys want me to set up? Like, what should be the BPMs if I'm going to open instead of close or be the headliner? I had to stop all of them and tell them, like, you guys are each a headliner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is no, you know, this and that, or I'm opening, so I'm going to just limit myself. Play as if you are the headliner because you guys all are.
That's awesome.
You know, so
yeah.
like, and it's cool because there's a lot of artists I haven't heard. But, you know, I did a post of like asking people, you know, what artist, I want to find the best artist, local artist, comment. And there was a load of comments of just people tagging their friends or tagging. And we've picked, literally gone through the list and picked.
So cool.
So many
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
You know.
You're giving what the community wants.
Yeah.
True, actual feedback
yeah.
in real time, too. That's,
yeah.
I mean, that's the definition of getting people involved.
Yeah. Yeah, but New Year's Eve, I don't care if I lose money. Like, it's really going to set the tone, and it's really going to wake up Cleveland. And it's cool to see comments of people saying, oh, I love what you're doing, or, like, I'm getting a bunch of DMs like, man, what you're doing is so awesome, or, like, even individuals that are a little older, right? Like, oh, man, you know, Cleveland's been dying. It's so cool that you're bringing it back, and, like,
yeah,
you know, and they see events, like, that was held at the church, or they see the events that we've done. Even prior to that, you know, even during COVID, I mean, we did a lot of underground parties, which, you know, that was fun, but we weren't contributing to society in a positive way just because of the COVID numbers every Monday when the mayor would say, you know, oh, COVID numbers are here now. It's like, shit, did we screw it up?
Yeah, right. What was
yeah,
our role in that?
Yeah. But it is cool to be a part of it and then, and to not only have my friends and family be, to hold me accountable, But I'm really putting myself out there to the point where I'm like, man, now I got thousands of people counting on me. Like, I have to deliver. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm sick, it doesn't matter if I'm making money or not, like, I have to make it happen. So if I say I'm gonna do something, it has to be done. Like, our biggest concerns, our biggest issues that we've had setting up New Year's Eve was, you know, dude, your special effects are for outdoor. I'm like, good, let's customize it to where it fits inside. Man, how in the heck are we gonna put 1,000 balloons on the roof? Like, you know, things like that we had to figure out. Like, you know, let's come together and figure it out. So we figured it out.
Yeah, you get creative, right?
Yeah, you just gotta be creative. You know, with the lights set up and the production, make sure that it's safe and secure and stuff. There's a lot that goes into it that people, you know, don't really see.
Of course.
And if I can say anything about people's perspective, is that if they change it slightly to understand that there's a lot of time that goes into it, you know, I think that when they walk in, they're going to see it, but more importantly, they can at least feel that they were a part of it too. You know, like I did a couple posts where I just wanted everyone, the community, to truly vote, to say what they thought, or what the feedback was from the last event. And it's really cool, you know, because it's not cheap and it takes a lot of time.
I think that's a great piece of advice in general to apply across so many different fields. Mm-hmm. It's always more than what meets the eye. You go and you experience things, and there's so many hands that have touched whatever it is, mm-hmm. whether it's the cup, the table, the whole event, you know, there's so many people's energy and efforts that have gone into it.
And there's a lot of battles that people don't know.
Like, heck yeah.
Even this New Year's Eve party, I've gone through so many individuals who said, it's not possible, it's not possible, it's not possible. Then you're not the person that I need in the room. Or like, you know, just trying to work with like some production crew that I've known for quite some time. And there's a lot of fighting. The people like Evia has to remind me, like, man, you got to manage personalities. There's a bunch of different personalities we're working with. But when they tell me it's not possible, I just completely get thrown off. It's not that I get thrown off. It's why are you in the room if you think it's not possible?
Yeah.
Or what am I doing wrong that makes you think that it's not possible? You know, the 360 stage setup, it's like, Ish, there's no way we can hang it. You know, the 360 trust above, I'm like, good, let's not hang it. Let's put it on the ground.
Perfect.
You know, you know, we don't have the stage. Great, let's build one, you know? But I love when people say it's not possible. It's either two things. I have the wrong person in the room, or I just need to help you think different to where it is possible.
That's it, and you make it happen, and then people are always amazed.
Oh, yeah.
It's always the things that are impossible that get done, and you're like, oh.
Man, I had,
it was amazing.
There was a local company that reached out and said, hey, we'd love to help you put the balloons up, yada, yada, yada. And it was an older couple, which was really nice, great, great couple. And they came in for the first time to see it. It's like, oh man, we definitely can't put it up there. You know, and it's funny. And I share that because there are a lot of people who donate their time, and there's some that I butt heads with. But when they tell me that it's not possible or it can't happen, it's never happened before, I love that. Like, I love it. That's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I want to hear. That's exactly, it allows me to understand that it's never happened in Cleveland before, and that's good. So when people come to like New Year's Eve and then the event's moving forward, they're gonna walk in not knowing. And then when they see it, like, wow, like this is so cool.
How revolutionary.
And even when I walk through the events, and I love the fact that no one knows who I am, but when I walk through, it's cool to go through the crowds and then hear people say, like, man, this is so cool. This doesn't feel like it's in Cleveland, or this feels like it's Miami or New York vibes. You know, it's really cool to hear all that.
Yeah, you're capturing it. It's you doing what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
That's so rewarding.
Yeah. And I did ask one of my team members asked, you know, you should do another post of asking them what they want the theme to be. So majority of the people voted to do a masquerade. So it's even cooler. Like, now I get to have a mask on and walk through the crowd and really hear people talk and say what they, you know. So it's really cool. I'm stoked. I'm excited. I love the fact that we get to do this, and the amount of support backing me is awesome. And the amount of doubters there are, that's awesome too. Like, I take it all in.
They're backing you in a different way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So all our Clevelanders, New Year's Eve, and if you're not in Cleveland listening to this, Cleveland on New Year's Eve, and we'll see you there. Ish, I have one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What piece of advice would you offer to the audience, or maybe a specific sector of the audience, whether it's up-and-coming artists, whether it's people trying to start a business, mm-hmm. whomever you decide, but what piece of advice would that be?
That's a great question. You know, and I know exactly how to answer it. If you're thinking about doing an event, I don't care if it's in a basement, a garage, a backyard, front yard, at a house, do it. Like, Cleveland needs more organizers. Cleveland needs more fun individuals who create fun environments. Don't doubt yourself. Don't worry about screwing up, or you don't have all the missing the pieces. If you're thinking about doing a party, do it. Like, don't worry about all the other details or whatever. Just pick a date, hold yourself accountable to make it happen, and just do it. You know, there needs to be more individuals doing more events in Cleveland. Unique or not, just do it.
What I'm hearing you say too is, once again, that people will come. Mm-hmm. And that if you inject yourself truly into something,
yeah,
the rest will follow.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be that first time, but you just keep going and you just keep building, right?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's real with anything.
Yeah. And they should definitely support each other too.
Right.
If there are local pop-ups, attend. You know, there's only one way to find out if a party's good or not. Just show up, you know?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I've showed up to a couple pop-ups where, like, woof, like, it was rough.
Should have hired me, yeah. I'm just kidding.
And there's a lot of unique pop-ups that are happening that were fun, you know? So just, if you see something local, show up. You know, don't complain about the price. Just show up. Pay it, because that price goes towards the movement, and which is to create more fun things to do in Cleveland.
I'm so excited to see it, Ishmael, on New Year's Eve. I mean,
you better
it
be coming,
sounds special,
man.
Right? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'd
love to be there. So,
all right,
it's great, and I can't thank you enough for coming on to episode 64 of Chats with Clark.
I appreciate you having me, man.
Absolutely. Sharing your wisdom, sharing your stories, being an innovator, a supporter of Cleveland, in Cleveland, for Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that's something that the city needs, and, again, is built on people who have done that,
mm-hmm,
and has a clientele of individuals who will follow and support that.
Yeah.
And that's just all we could ask for, is someone that's a Cleveland lover. So I appreciate the energy that you're injecting both into this episode and to the city abroad.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not hit the subscribe button, I'm kind of feeling like I'm repeating myself. Hit the subscribe button. And if you haven't yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. This has been another great episode, episode 64 of Chats with Clark. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off. Thanks for listening.
That was awesome.
That was great. Let's go.
Like, I
Thank
truly
you, man. I really appreciate it. Absolutely.